Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. This is your
friend, Joe Temple, speaking, and as we prepare to enter into the study of the Word, I feel the need of asking God to help us, don't you? You have some specific need today, some specific desire. God's able to do great things for you. Let's give Him a chance. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have of looking into the Word once again. We ask that Thou wilt open the Word that we might see the wonderful way that You have planned things and the wonderful way that You work things out. And then we come to You, Lord, and ask that Thou wilt meet our individual needs. We're needy creatures. And some of us, Lord, have needs that we've had for some time, and we wonder when the light is going to begin to shine again. We do pray that Thou wilt look after us, Lord. Meet our needs and show Yourself strong in our behalf. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles today. Will you open them, please, to the third chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, which introduces to us John the Baptizer. We said in the 12 verses that we read in your hearing a day or two ago that John the Baptizer was a unique man, ordinary man, yes, but unique, because one thing about him, he was pictured in prophecy. He wasn't a man who just appeared on the scene out of nowhere. He was part of God's plan. And we have been looking at the prophecies in this third chapter that deal with John. Today, we want to look at a prophecy that is found in the book of Malachi. And this is a familiar prophecy to some of you, but it is a prophecy that is worthy of our consideration at this particular time. I refer to what is said through Malachi the prophet. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Additional reading of this passage of Scripture indicates that the messenger in this verse, now listen very closely to what I'm saying, that the messenger in this verse is Elijah, and the preparation he was to make for the coming of the king was for that coming of the king which will precede his reign upon the earth. Now, of course, when I say something like that, folk are apt to say, I'm confused. You say that this refers to John the Baptizer, and yet you say it also refers to Elijah. Who's mixed up? No one, really. Turn, please, to the Gospel of John. You'll find an answer there in chapter 1, keeping in mind that we've told you that sometimes we have to look at the other Gospels when we study a particular Gospel in order to get the complete story. So in John chapter 1, verse 19, we read, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. Now, of course, the text says Christ, but a better word for Christ would be Messiah, for the Greek word for Christ is the Anointed One, and it's a reference to the Messiah. He's saying, I'm not the Messiah. You see, the Jews were looking for the Messiah. Down in verse 21, they ask him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. There's a reference to the prophecy that Moses made, that someday God would raise up a prophet like unto Moses, but he didn't name him. And so when they said, Art thou that prophet? They were talking about the prophet that Moses had spoken about. Again in verse 22 of John chapter 1, Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John gave the same testimony as did the others, quoting from Isaiah chapter 40. But you folk who are really listening probably are saying, well, you still haven't answered the question. How could this prophecy be a prophecy of John, that is the prophecy in Malachi, when you said that it's a reference to Elijah? Well, the answer is found in Matthew chapter 11. Notice Matthew 11:7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Now notice carefully. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now what did Jesus say? Who did you go out, or whom did you go out to see in the wilderness? You went out to see the man of whom Malachi spoke. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Then Jesus continued, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptizer. There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptizer. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptizer. And from the days of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Listen carefully again. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Notice what he's saying. If you Jews, in the day in which I, Jesus, am living, would receive the message of John the Baptizer, then indeed he would be the Elijah of whom Malachi speaks. Because if you Jews would receive his message, you would receive mine, and I would establish my kingdom right now. Now, if we would anticipate ourselves a bit, we would know that the Jews to whom he spake did not receive John's message, nor did they receive the testimony of Christ. Therefore, his kingdom was not established, and he went away until such a time as the people to whom he came at first will ask him to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You must recognize this distinction in the Gospels if you're going to be able to understand what's in the Gospels. You'll fall into error in your interpretation if you don't understand what John said. He came unto his own. That's the nation of Israel. And his own received him not. But as many as receive him, gives he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yes, John the Baptizer was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ at his first coming. Elijah, strange as it may seem to you, will be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming. Perhaps some of you call to mind the story in the book of the Revelation concerning two witnesses who are going to be raised up in the last days just before the coming of Christ. And those two witnesses will put out a special appeal to the people who will be living on the earth during those days, that is, the end period of the tribulation. And they will have all of the power that the Old Testament prophets had of causing fire to come down out of heaven, and performing miracles, of raising the dead. They will have all of those things at their fingertips to exercise. And because the power of the Antichrist is so great, and because he will leave no stone unturned, to keep the Savior from coming back? Those two witnesses, according to the book of Revelation, will lie in the streets of the city of Jerusalem after they have been killed for 2 days. Then they'll be caught up to heaven. Now, we're not told who those two witnesses are, but most Bible scholars believe that one of them was Elijah, and in all probability the other one was Moses. Be that as it may, we do know Elijah is coming as a forerunner of the second coming of Christ in glory. Now, will you permit me to say something? So we'll all be thinking along the same line. True it is, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in glory. But before he comes in glory, at least 7 years before he comes in glory, he is going to come in the air to catch up from this earth people who are his own, to be with him. Beautifully described, as we've so often said to you, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. They that sleep in Jesus will be caught up before we on the earth are caught up to be with the Lord, when he makes his appearance in the sky. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The faithful among the nation of Israel, such as Zacharias and Simeon and Elizabeth, the faithful in Israel were looking for the coming of Christ when he came the first time, and oh, how their hearts rejoiced when he arrived. We, the faithful, are looking for the coming of the Lord. And how our hearts shall rejoice when he comes. I never finish a broadcast that I don't think the Lord may be here before we get into the Word tomorrow. And if that happens, we can ask the Lord to teach us the Word. And my, what a wonderful opportunity it will be. I'm looking for Jesus to come. I hope you are. And I hope you'll join me in the prayer of the Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus.